The show is live and local. It's your connection to local music and more. And on the show today, we have John Wustman, who is one of the great vocal coaches and keyboard accompanists of our time, certainly. And he's going about to celebrate his 80th birthday, or maybe he already has, I'm not sure. And he's going to be teaming up on Sunday with a fellow he's worked with quite often, who is one of our great opera singers today, who is a graduate of the University of Illinois, where John was for many years on the faculty, Nathan Gunn. And they're going to be doing two of the song cycles of Schubert Sunday afternoon in two different recitals. And we'll be hearing some highlights from past recitals and also some other things as well. On the second portion of the program, it's students from Champaign Central High School who are putting on the musical Urinetown next week. And we'll hear some highlights live on Live and Local. It's FM 90.9. WYLL is the source of NPR news and classical music for listeners all over central Illinois. Our spring pledge drive will begin on Saturday. Support from listeners like you is the single most important source of funding we have, especially these days. And we're encouraging listeners who are committed to supporting the service to call in with your pledge of financial support or give online now at willpledge.org. Thank you. And we go right into the second of the songs after hearing the beginning of Schubert's great song cycle, Die Winterreise, a winter's journey, essentially, in a performance from 1997 by baritone Nathan Gunn and pianist John Wustman. They are going to be teaming up on Sunday for another rendition of Die Winterreise. That recital will be given at Smith Recital Hall on the University of Illinois campus at 7:30 Sunday evening. And then at 3 o'clock, they'll be doing another of Schubert's song cycles, Die Schöne Müllerin, the lovely Miller's daughter, I guess, also at Smith Recital Hall. And both of these are free, and they're both to celebrate in part birthdays of both participants. And we have one of the participants with us right now. John Wustman is here. He was for many, many years on the faculty of the University of Illinois, teaching vocal coaching and piano accompanying. And he, by someone or another, there's deans of everything, it seems, in music. And somebody called you, John, the Dean of American Accompanists.
I don't know who it was, but I was grateful for the comment. And it's been used ever since.
Yeah, it was like Aaron Copland was the Dean of American Composers. And William Grant Still is the dean of black composers or something like that.
It appeared in one of the New York newspapers. Yeah. I honestly do not know
it
who it
stuck.
Was or when it was.
So these are not official titles, but they work. Well, thanks for coming in.
It's my pleasure to be here.
So have you had your 80th birthday?
Yes, I have. On Christmas Day.
On Christmas Day.
Right.
Wow.
So I am 80.
And
hard to believe, but I am.
And how did you keep your hair color?
I don't know. It's just the way it growed.
I mean, you have this distinguished gray on the sides, and it's just this sort of nice, sort of sandy brown. And
it's just the way it is.
And I'm intensely jealous. There's nothing we can do about these things.
No.
And Nathan is either going to or has turned 40.
Yes, I think he's at the end of November. And
not so recently, but recently enough that we can still say that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
and you can say that you had a great role in helping to kick off his career.
Well, I don't know if that's true, but we worked together a lot. You know, he came here as a freshman, and his wife, I think, came at the same time, or maybe a year before. I'm not sure. And Julie came to study with me. She came from Dartmouth College, and she said to me one day, she said, "No, I met this young baritone who's really wonderful, and he would like to sing for you." And so that was the beginning of it. Nathan came in. I think he was a freshman.
And well, she's older than he is. I know that.
Hmm?
She's older than he is.
Maybe she is. I have no idea. But anyway, it was just great. And as I said to you before, he's really making a wonderful life and a wonderful career. And it's just great.
Yeah. I mean, to say the very least. I mean, he's made a certain reputation for singing with his shirt off. I just actually just saw that YouTube clip of when he was on Jason behind me helped with the not the the oh, Stephen Colbert Show, whatever that's called.
Colbert Report.
The Colbert Report, that's right. And he did this sort of silly...
which I've never seen.
Well, it's kind of funny. And I think Nathan actually... Nathan gets the best of Stephen Colbert, I think, which doesn't happen very often in any event.
But whatever.
You know, he was doing just such a fabulous job singing Schubert. Back then, he did a lot of these recitals with you.
I think almost all of them. I think when we did all the Schuberts, which was from 91 to 97, something like that, and I think one concert he did not sing. I've forgotten why. He had some other engagement. And otherwise, and at one time, some years ago, I did have a, I forgot what that's called again, on the computer, a list of every who sang what and where, because we toured a lot with the Schuberts. Mm. And Nathan had sung by far the most. The most performances and the most songs. And I can't tell you the exact number because I've forgotten and the thing got lost from the computer. I don't know where it is.
So did you have a pretty good idea then that he was going to go on and have a career of the sort he's got now?
No, I don't think I just hoped that he would, and I thought he certainly should have, and now he does have. And I don't think anyone ever can...
You never really know, but what did you hear in his voice then that would have said he certainly should have, and you know, these things are really
number
good
one
about
that to me it was very beautiful, and still is beautiful, and is very smart and learns very quickly, and is dependable. Has all the I cannot say enough good things about him. I can't think of anything bad.
So when you're coaching singers like Nathan or singers just in general, what do you generally go for, if there is such a generalization to make?
I don't know if there is something like that. I think what everyone has to begin with, you have to be, if you can, as true to what you see on the page as one can be. And then, of course, what is that really, what's on the page? Because there can be 10 different pianists and 10 different singers, and the same song can sound 10 different ways. And not that anybody's doing anything really wrong, but I don't know how to explain it. And what it is I try to do what I see on the page and what it means to me. And I try to give that to a student. Doesn't always agree. If it doesn't agree, it's fine. Sometimes a young person can... hear something which I have not seen or heard. It's possible.
And when you worked with Nathan, do you recall any of the things that particularly he needed work?
No, I don't.
On from you?
No.
You know,
no.
Nothing particular that
you
got to do. Meaning that you don't remember, or there wasn't anything.
I think there wasn't anything. There wasn't anything. And
because just hearing that now, I mean, I'm trying to remember if I was at that recital, but it felt like I could have been. Because it sounded like a fully finished voice then.
Yeah, I think so too. And I think that performance was at the end of our Schuberts, and which was in, I think we ended on February 2 of 1997. I had this idea first to do the Schuberts, and I don't know, came into my mind, somebody really should celebrate his birthday. And I thought, you know, so many... see and hear about so many concerts and celebrations of people's deaths. And I thought, enough of that. And why don't we celebrate a birthday? Then I realized that his birthday was coming soon. And so I thought, I should really get myself organized. And we did.
Why Schubert?
Because I love it so much. And it's that's the only reason.
And why do you love it so much?
Well, to me, it speaks everything that I want to hear. To me, it is beautiful. And yeah, I cannot tell you why. I mean... Why do some people love some person so much, or some literature, or whatever, or painting? It speaks to me, and that's that.
And there's got to be something gratifying about the piano parts, which
are
huge.
Yeah, because it's written for the piano, and it's not an orchestra piece which has been reduced for the piano, and it's just Schubert. I said to Nathan when I saw him last week, twice last week, and it's just utterly amazing when one thinks about it, that he lived only 31 years and that wrote so much music. And in my opinion, and not only mine, but in the world's opinion, so much really beautiful and great music. I mean, of songs, there are 630 some, I think. And then there are 9 beautiful symphonies, and then there are 6 masses, and there are lots and lots of operas which have never been performed. I saw one once in Vienna, and it was beautiful, and I don't know why they have never really caught on. And the piano sonatas are great, and there's so many piano pieces. I mean, I just think, how does a guy like that have time to take pen to paper and write it down, let alone think about it? And I remember some years when we were doing Schubert's here, I prepared the programs, and I did not make the translations, but got them all organized so that the school office could print them. And it was a lot of work. And one of the winters, it was in February, we had a big ice storm here, and we didn't have electricity for 10 days or something like that. I didn't have in the house no electricity. And I was doing this work with candle because it had to be done. And I thought, how did these guys do this before electricity? How did Schubert write all this? You know, only in Vienna, there are only so many hours of daylight in the winter. Not so many. And then with a candle, sit there and write all these things.
And not only
difficult.
No light, but no heat. That's the one
also
that gets
no heat,
me.
Yes, right.
And did you really do all 600 and some songs?
All.
And you had all these different singers who were helping you, but you had to play every one of those pieces.
I did, yes.
That's a massive learning project.
Oh, yeah, well, I loved it all. And yeah, we did with all of them. I wish I knew the exact number, but as with other things, I'm sure you know too, Kevin, there are some things one doesn't really know the exact number of. And with Schubert songs, for instance, Die Forelle, which everybody knows, and there are in the complete works in the Breitkopf edition, there are 5 versions of Forelle. But the differences are really, really slight. And like here is a dotted quarter instead of a plain quarter note. And to me, this does not make 5 songs, but it's really only 1 song. And there are other songs which Schubert set the same text twice and really... a very different kind of music and different kind of song. Those I count as 2 songs. But these were just some variation. And then there are other people who count everything that's written as another song. So yeah, I cannot think of another. It was in my mind, but it has gone out of my mind. There are other composers too. What one just doesn't know is this. Like people talk about the number of Verdi operas. And you can read all the way from 26 to 31, because they don't want to count one that isn't finished or one that is sort of a remake of another one. And other people say, no, there are 27.
And did you do all of the Forellas? And for those who
might not know
it better, as the Trout,
right?
Is that one? Yeah,
the Trout. I just did one
of those.
Yeah,
but others where they were substantially different.
Yeah, I did them. Yeah,
you did those
if they were substantially different. But if only a small difference, I did not do it.
Well, we're going to hear. Something from Die Schöne Müllerin we've heard from much more recently in Nathan's career coming up in a little bit. But first, I want to play for our listeners somebody who you told me when we were corresponding about having you on the show, you immediately remembered this particular recital that you gave in Moscow?
Well, only the recording.
In the 70s?
We did not do a concert in Moscow, just the recording.
Hmm.
A concert we did in many other places in the world, but not in Moscow.
And
but
this,
the recording was in Moscow.
This person is somebody I didn't know before.
Irina Arkhipova. She was, I think, one of the greatest singers of the last century. She just died last year, and it's just phenomenal.
And these are it was a commercially available recording, not out now, of Rachmaninoff songs and also these Mussorgsky songs and dances of death, from which we're going to hear the last. What would you like to say about this by way of introduction?
Well, I think the last, I think it's called The Commander-in-Chief. And all 4 songs are about death, and about somebody meeting death and then giving in, and death. Death is the champion. Death wins, as it's true in life. It wins all of us. And that's what this is about.
Irina Arkhipova, mezzo-soprano, with pianist John Wustman, who is my guest here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. He's going to be appearing with Nathan Gunn twice on Sunday afternoon in Song Cycles by Franz Schubert.
Oh, yeah.
that's seriously powerful music. The Field Marshal, the last of the songs and dances of death of Modest Mussorgsky. Years shall pass, or you unreckoned, unheeded. Men shall forget what you fought for today. I, death alone, will remember your valor. Honor your memory when midnight has struck, etc., etc. And it, what a powerful singer. Did she do operatic work also?
Yes, a lot. I think she sang some in San Francisco, and at the very, very end of her life, she sang one performance at the Met, or maybe two, of a very tiny, tiny part in Oniegan, the maid or something. I don't know how or why that came about. And then she was the leading mezzo at the Bolshoi in Russia.
Irina Arkhipova, mezzo-soprano. Yeah. And you said mostly what she did in the United States was recitals with you.
Yep, I think so.
And it's John Wustman, who is the pianist in that recording and is with us here on Live and Local, and is going to be appearing with Nathan Gunn Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock in Die Schöne Müllerin of Franz Schubert, and then at 7:30 Sunday in Die Winterreise, also of Schubert, both of those free programs in Smith Recital Hall in the University of Illinois campus. Both of them, both of those cycles based on poetry of Wilhelm Müller. We're going to hear a different collaboration that Nathan did, I'm not sure how recently, a friend of his pulled this CD together for me, with his another student of yours who you mentioned earlier, who was his wife, Julie.
His wife, Julie, right.
Formerly Julie Jordan, and now Julie Gunn, and who is now has the job you had.
Yes, exactly.
Which is teaching, accompanying at the University of Illinois. Yeah. So what?
That makes me happy too.
I assume you're just as proud of her as you are of Nathan.
Absolutely.
And she does what she does largely because of what you taught her, in addition to her own given abilities.
Yes.
Any recollections of?
No, nothing in particular. And they're doing really very well, the two of them. I'm so happy for them.
Well, as I said, I'm not sure when this recital came from, but we'll listen to it together, part of the last song of Die Schöne Müllerin with Nathan and Julie Gunn here on Live and Local. Nathan Gunn with Julie Gunn from a recent, well, fairly recent recital of Die Schöne Müllerin, the lovely maid by the brook, or Miller's daughter, or something like that.
It's a female Miller.
A female Miller.
So I think one assumes that it's the Miller's daughter, but I don't really, we don't have, I've seen it translated Milleress. I mean, I just don't know. I have no idea in English what it is.
But this fellow is quite smitten with her.
Oh, smitten that he kills himself at the end.
Yeah, both of these song titles are... Yeah,
this is life. The Winterreise, I always say, you know, the first song which you played a little bit of before, it begins sort of at the bottom of despair and dejection. And then it goes on for 24 songs, it gets worse and worse and worse until we get to the end.
Maybe that's why he was done after 31 years, Schubert was.
I don't know.
If you write stuff like that, you can only take so much of it.
Oh, maybe.
Right?
But
you've played stuff like that all your life, and you've hit 80, and you seem to be doing just fine.
Well, I think I am.
And you're still playing his music and these massive songs. Are you doing any touring anymore?
No, I think it almost doesn't exist. And I'm not doing it. I don't know who is touring. It seems to me that it has kind of disappeared.
Touring meaning you go for an extended period of time with somebody.
You know, and some of the listeners will know what in the 50s and the 60s, since still in the 70s, when there was this thing called community concerts.
Right, I used to go to those.
Yeah, well, and I'm telling you, when community concerts was big and going strong, I played a lot. And I remember the 2 years that I toured with Bill Warfield, we had a great time. But we used to do between 90 and 100 concerts a year.
Wow.
And that's really when the season was only from October through April. There were no concerts in September and in the summer months. And just things were not air-conditioned. But that doesn't exist anymore.
So I guess when Nathan goes with Julie or whoever, it's more likely for a few recitals, and then he goes back to the opera house probably.
Right, yeah. Or back home, and so I don't, I can't really explain it, but it does not exist as it did when I was younger.
But one of the people with whom you did tour, well, we're going to hear in a little bit. We used to tour quite a lot with Luciano Pavarotti.
Yeah, but Luciano didn't really tour either. I mean, as I'm saying with Bill Warfield, Luciano sang a lot of concerts, but we maybe would have two at a time, and then he was off to sing opera again someplace else, and then I would meet him in wherever.
I remember hearing, and you can tell me if this is true or not, that you were the only pianist he would work with in the United States.
I don't know if the only one that he would work with. I'm the only one he did work with.
It's all the same, really.
Yeah,
because he could have worked with anybody he wanted to.
I suppose we got along very well, and it was just a great thing for me, and I learned a lot from him. And
before we go to a very different kind of music in the last portion of our show, we're going to hear a little bit from a recital you gave with Luciano Pavarotti at Carnegie Hall back in the late '80s. But first, I need to say that our program today on FM 90.9 is made possible in part with support from Krannert Center for the Performing Arts, offering the refinement and poise of the Eben Quartet on Thursday, April 14th at 7:30 p.m. More information is available at krannertcenter.com. And we have support from World Harvest International and Gourmet Foods in the corner of 6th and University in Champaign, providing Champaign-Urbana with an international selection of chocolates, cheeses, oils, balsamic vinegar, jams, spices, barbecue sauces, and more. World Harvest invites you to join them in supporting public radio. And, John, we're already plotting to have you back on the show for a full hour just to talk about piano accompanying and coaching and sewing.
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, that'll be a lot of fun. And so I'm sure Sunday will be great fun for you and for Nathan and for anybody who goes to the recitals.
I hope so.
3 o'clock, Die Schöne Müllerin. 7:30, Die Winterreise, both in Smith Recital Hall. Both are free programs. And wish John...
Isn't it great that it's free?
Yeah, exactly. Wish John a belated 80th birthday and Nathan a belated 40th birthday on Sunday. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
And a quick introduction to these Petrarch sonnets of Franz Liszt.
Mm-hmm.
You want to mention something about these? I hadn't heard of these.
You had not heard of them?
You hadn't heard of them either.
No, until, but there's lots that one never hears of. I discovered them once on a record, and I thought they were so beautiful. I thought, really, this deserves a really great tenor. And I met Luciano, and I thought, and he said to me once, or his manager said, we really have to find a new program. And I didn't know. So I thought, aha, this is the right voice for these Liszt songs. And so we did them. We learned them and did them over and over and over again.
And you thought he was a pretty good tenor, so why not record
it? Yeah, absolutely.
This is from Pavarotti at Carnegie Hall. It should have said Pavarotti and Wussmann at Carnegie Hall. John Wussmann's the pianist. Pace non trovo from three Petrarch sonnets of Franz Liszt here on Live and Local. John, thanks very much.
Oh, thank you.
We heard the great Luciano Pavarotti with the great pianist John Wussmann in music by Franz Liszt from a recital at Carnegie Hall in the late 1980s. And for something completely different, we're going to hear some music from a show that has got to have like the worst name ever. Urinetown the Musical. I never remember the first time I saw that, and I was talking with John about this earlier. So you've got to be joking. That is surely not the name of a show. And yet, it's extremely funny.
It's really a wonderful show. It's well-crafted, too.
Yeah. I saw this when Parkland College did it.
Mm-hmm. They did
a
great
years ago.
A great version of it, yeah.
Yeah, and this is LaDonna Wilson, who's with us. She's the drama director at Champaign Central High School, and I see a whole bunch of kids here in front of me. And somebody I recognize at the piano who's been here before in very different guys, Steve Larson.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. I'm always bad remembering names, so I'm glad I got that one right. So why did you decide to do Urinetown? And then I'm going to ask something of this collective group of students here in a minute.
Well, I have triple threats right now. I have quite a few seniors who are good at dancing, acting, and singing, and so I wanted to pick a show that would challenge all three of those things. We are also being evaluated for the International Thespian Festival, so I wanted to pick a show that would be would showcase our talent, but also show the depth of our talent, because it is a rather challenging show.
And Central High School has a long tradition of quite good drama going on there.
I would like to think so.
Yeah. Well, when I first got here, it was Don Decker mm-hmm. was the director for a long time.
Right.
And was there somebody between him and you?
There were quite a few people that were there temporarily, but I think I've probably been there the longest since Don Decker.
So you stuck around for how long now?
Yeah, 9 years. This is my 10th year there, so it's been a while.
And I'm assuming that you all like this musical.
Yes.
No, that's enthusiastic. So somebody step forward and tell me what appeals to you about this show, and then somebody else gets to give the briefest synopsis of Urinetown the Musical. Fine, so identify yourself, sir.
Okay, I am Davis Bourne, and I am a senior, and I am playing Mr. Gladwell. And I like this show because I enjoy like all the levels of it. I think it has amazing music, it's hilarious to me, and I think it has really great social commentary on like our systems of government and capitalism and all the huge long list of things that it satirizes.
Well, according to Wikipedia, it satirizes the legal system, capitalism, social irresponsibility, populism, bureaucracy, corporate mismanagement, and municipal politics.
There you go.
There you go.
And I think it kind of satirizes musicals as well. It makes fun of the genre of musicals.
I love that too.
So who's got the synopsis of the show? Yes, sir. You got to identify yourself.
All right. I'm John J. Nolden. I'm a sophomore, and I play Officer Lockstock. And pretty much the show is about this town where it's set in the 30s, and there was a drought, so there was a huge shortage of water. And it's pretty much the town, like, how they manage their water usage. And by doing this, they charge people to use the bathrooms. And it's all about the town's, like, reaction to the situation, how they handle this, and, yeah.
And this is, by charging to use the bathroom, this is somehow going to result in their consuming less water, so they'll have to use the bathroom less often. Is that the idea?
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they can regulate how often they use the bathroom, so that it's closed at night, for example, and the police roam the streets to make sure nobody takes any nighttime, excursions to the bushes, for example.
And why is this funny?
Well, it's just, there's a lot of humor in it. Like, for example, how it just makes fun of musicals and the whole musical genre in itself. And there's just a lot of, like, little jokes. It's a really great show.
So what do we have as our first example of the greatness of this show, musically speaking?
Well, the first song we're going to sing is A Privilege to Pee, which kind of explains the idea. We have Miss Pennywise here who's talking to the people of the village about why it's important, her position, and charging to urinate.
And so, Annie McDonald. Yes. I almost said your sister's name, and I thought, no. I know, I stopped myself. Annie McDonald in the role of Penelope Pennywise. And I actually just saw the person who I'm pretty sure played Penelope Pennywise in the Parkland production.
Really?
I saw her at Meyer. I don't think she saw me. She was busy on the telephone. But I'm blanking on her name, too. But anyway. So, Sarah and Steve.
Annie.
I did it. Sorry. All right. Her sister's name is Sarah. This is Annie. They both played the French horn. So does their mom. So I got it over with. There we go.
Times are hard. Our cash is tight. You've got no right. I've heard it all before. Just this once is once too much for once they've once they'll want to once more. I run the only toilet in this part of town, you see. So if you gotta go, you've got to go through me. It's a privilege to pee. Water's worth its weight in gold these days. No more bathrooms like in olden days. You come here and pay a fee for the privilege to pee. 20 years we've had the drought, and our reservoirs have all dried up. I take my baths now in a coffee cup. I boil what's left of it for tea, and it's a privilege to pee. The politicians in their wisdom saw that there should be a law. The politicians taxed the toilets and made illegal public urination and defecation. So come and give your coins to me. Write your name here in the record book. The authorities will want to look if you've been regular with me. If you've paid the proper fee for the privilege to pee. I said no buts, Bobby. You're a sweet looking boy and I like to keep you around. But this man ain't coming in without paying. Not this time.
It's a privilege to pee.
You think you got some kind of right?
Kind of right, kind of right.
You think you'll come in here and go for free?
Snag a freebie.
The only thing you'll get is no for free.
Snag a Tory.
I'm a business gal,
you see.
I sell the privilege to pee. The good Lord made us so we'd piss each day until we piss away. The good Lord made sure that the ghost must soon come out again. So you're no different then from lonely me.
Lonely Miss Pennywise.
That's enough, Bobby.
Lonely me.
And I think I'll charge you twice.
No need to jeopardize your position.
Or better yet, have you arrested?
I'm through with this, you see.
Since you prefer the law gets tested.
Scraping cash 3 times a day.
And in urine town, you'll see.
Crazy with the nitrates half the time.
Why, it's dumb to fight with me.
It's no way to live, I tells you. No way to live.
For the privilege. to be. Wow, wow, wow.
Remarkably powerful song given the subject matter. Annie MacDonald as Penelope Pennywise, the tough, jaded warden of the poorest, filthiest urinal in town, from Champaign Central High School's production of Urinetown the Musical, which is going up when, and when are all the shows?
Well, it starts Wednesday the 13th of April, and it goes through Sunday. It's 7 p.m. for Wednesday through Saturday, and it's 2:30 on Sunday the 17th. We are double cast. Like usual, I do a lot of the lead roles that way because I have so much talent at Central. So I feel I have to highlight it all.
So who is the other Penelope Pennywise?
Actually, she's single cast.
Oh.
She's by herself. But there are several other people who are double cast here today.
And what did Annie, you just beat up anybody
Absolutely.
Else who threatened to take
got
over?
Got rid of all the other competition and locked them in their cars.
She's the most evil. No, just kidding.
Seems to be that way in every show.
And we have somebody else at the microphone, Will Weckhorst, I know. And who are you?
I play Mr. Cladwell.
And who is Mr. Cladwell?
Mr. Cladwell was an ordinary guy who owned a water company before the shortage. And once the drought came about, he became the most powerful man in the society. So now he is this...
Tyrant.
Corporate tyrant.
This is Caldwell B. Cladwell.
That's right.
Evil president and owner of the Urine Good Company.
That's correct.
And what are you going to sing for us?
I'm going to sing Mr. Cladwell.
Logically enough. You wouldn't be an egocentrist at all, would you?
Oh, no.
No, surely not. It's Steve Larson at the piano.
I saw gray skies foreboding and cold. I saw gray skies and made them rain gold. Now those skies are so bleak to behold. They're still gray, but they pay for your salaries tenfold. I took this town that formerly stank. I took this town and made it smell swank. I made Flushing mean flush at the bank. I'm the man with the plan, and so whom should you thank? Whom?
Mr. Cladwell, we're so thankful.
Oh, no.
For that bank full of dough. You're a toreador, and it's cash that you gore. Could we hope for much more? We really doubt it.
You may be right there.
Mr. Cladwell, you've got riches, which is just what we need. We say hail to you, the Duke of the Ducats.
I can bring in bucks by the buckets.
You're the master, you're making money.
Faster still than bees making honey.
You're Mr. Cladwell.
Gosh, Daddy, I never realized large monopolizing corporations can be such a force for good in the world.
Few do.
All those coins that we take from the throng end up here where those coins all belong. Lots of coins make our company strong.
Charging fees as we please is all right, it's not wrong.
We're not greedy, as some make us seem. We need funds for our big research teams. Men and lab coats with test tubes with steam. What it shows, no one knows.
But hey, still we can dream of
Mr. Cladwell, finding answers, curing cancers of doubt.
That's my dad.
Your ambitions are high, but your hump was fine. What a wonderful guy, we simply love you.
You're making me a blush now,
Mr. Cladwell. You're so godly.
Continental yet unpretentious,
fancy free and so conscientious,
wise but trendy, tough as a mountain,
goodness flows from you like a fountain. You're Mr.
Cladwell.
Will Weckhorst is Mr. Cladwell, and who is our additional soloist who snuck in there?
I'm Max Kegel, and I actually am double cast with John Jay as Officer Lockstock on my on night, but I'm singing Mr. McQueen for you tonight, or today.
Mr. McQueen is Mr. Cladwell's henchman.
That's coming up next, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm.
Not yet in the story.
No. Not in this story.
I mean, it is, but we're not going to sing for you then. Right.
And I'm Sophia Magro, and I play Hope Cladwell, his daughter.
That was nice. You almost sound like you got coloratura heights there to your to your voice, meaning go really high. Yes.
Well, I'm actually an alto, but
are you really?
Yeah.
That doesn't sound like it. You've got a nice range. She's not. It's the other focus said not.
She's got quite a range.
Yeah, apparently. Are you? You're one of these really good sight readers, so you get to sing alto a lot. I bet you.
I've just been in choir for a long time, so I've had a lot of practice.
That's
harmonies.
Very modest of you.
She's a belter.
We've got a couple more songs. What do we got?
Yes, I'd like to do "Follow Your Heart." So Hope Cladwell actually meets the young Bobby Strong, who's the head of the, I guess you would say, the local people, and she teaches him something about love, and they kind of find each other. You know, two separate worlds: the wealthy and the not so wealthy.
And this is Colin Murphy. In the role of Bobby Strong.
Correct.
Here on Live and Local, have at it.
When darkness surrounds you and you lose your way, you have your own compass that turns night to day, and it's even with you before you depart. Be still, hear it beating, it's leading you, follow your heart. We all want a world filled with peace and with joy, with plenty of water for each girl and boy. That bright shining world is just waiting to start. No meanness or sorrow, just cleanness tomorrow, if only you follow your heart. Follow into the open air, far from squalor and noise. Follow, someone is waiting there. Someone who shares all your hopes and your joys.
Someday I'll meet someone whose heart joins with mine. Aortas and arteries all intertwined. They'll beat so much stronger than they could apart. Eight chambers of muscle to hustle the love in our hearts.
Love is kind and considerate. Love is peaceful and fair. Love can creep up so suddenly. When you least think of it, your love is there. We all want a world filled with peace and with joy, with plenty of justice for each girl and boy. That bright shining world is just waiting to start. No anger or badness, just laughter and
oh, you aren't kidding that you got some really fine singers in this troupe here.
I do.
It's definitely worth showing them off. And what is, some really nice music in this. I haven't seen this since that Parkland production. And just might have to get out and see this one here. This is cast from Champaign Central High School, Urinetown, the musical. Colin Murphy just sang the role of Bobby Strong, and Sophia Magro as Hope Cladwell. And before we do our last number, I'm going to just, so many things going on this weekend. It's Mom's Weekend at the University of Illinois, but I'm going to sort of focus on some of the other musicals, including some other high schools. Centennial High School this weekend in Champaign is doing the musical Grease. That's tonight and tomorrow at 7 o'clock with a Saturday matinee at 1:30 at the Illini Union Board Assembly Hall production for Mom's Day weekend. It's Seussical the musical. Tonight and tomorrow at 7:30, a Saturday matinee at 2 o'clock. Let's see. Edison Middle School in Champaign is doing Once on This Island Junior performances tonight and tomorrow at 7, Saturday afternoon at 2:30. Moreau Forsyth High School is doing Rodgers and Hammerstein's Oklahoma tonight and tomorrow at 7 o'clock. is the Parkland Chamber Singers doing a program called Music, the Food of Love at Grace United Methodist Church in Urbana tonight at 7 o'clock. University of Illinois Women's Glee Club is giving its Mom's Day concert tomorrow afternoon at 2 o'clock at the Krannert Center in Urbana. University of Illinois Black Chorus gives its Mom's Day concert tomorrow evening at the Krannert Center at 7:30. And the Chorale of Champaign County performs in Tuscola at the Douglas County Museum at 7 o'clock. Finally, the Millikan University Spring Jazz Concert is at Albert Taylor Theater on the Millikan campus in Decatur. That's Sunday evening at 7:30. Lots of other things, but that's what we have time to mention. I do need to say that we have support for our show today from the Corkscrew Wine Emporium, 203 North Vine, Urbana, with wines for the series collector. To the first-time buyer, wine tastings are held on Saturdays from 2 to 6 p.m. in the Bouvon Wine Bar, including this week's tasting featuring a sampling of 10 wines poured by Wes Shemeroff Pure Wine Company. More information is at thecorkscrew.com. This is Illinois Public Media, WYLFM and HD1 and HD2 Urbana, with translators W266 AF Urbana and W293 AF Danville. And this is Live and Local. And what is our last tune?
Well, I'm kind of torn. We were talking about Freedom Run, but I think we should end with You're in Town so that we can kind of give the
That sounds like a great idea. And the show again runs next Wednesday through Saturday at 7 o'clock.
Correct.
And then it's the matinee on Sunday.
The 17th at 2:30.
2:30. Champaign Central High School. For tickets,
they can call 351-3911 to make a reservation, but they'll also be available at the door.
And it's LaDonna Wilson, drama director at the high school. And we will go out on the last song.
Better hope your pennies add up to the fee. We can have you peeing for free. If you do, we'll catch you. We never fail, and we never bother with jail.
You'll get You're in Town. Off you go to You're in Town. Away with you to You're in Town.
You won't need bail. Later on, you'll learn that these public bathrooms are being controlled by a private company. They keep admission high, generally, so if you're down on your luck, you have to come to a place like this. One of the poorest, filthiest urinals in town.
And you can't just go in the bushes, either.